Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would say oftentimes quite a few things before he got to the text. And I always love to start with the text, and so remember, this is not necessarily a repeat of his message. We will be using most of his message that he preached a long time ago. But this is an adaptation for our times. And Dr. King is so rich, and was so gifted by God and called by God, that his sermons were so tight and so well done that they can stand adaptation. The Holy Bible reads, and back in those days, the black pastors always use the King James Version. They didn't even think about it. They didn't talk about it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, filled with tension, and I will give you rest. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That prayer, Lord, that our great grandmothers and grandmothers taught us when we were living down in the cut. Lord, the one that we repeated in their hearing and were made to pray before we went to bed, that we learned in the old country church on Sunday mornings. Lord, is becoming more and more real to the truly saved today, because we are interested, in light of all that is happening, very much so, in your kingdom coming. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you, as the song we sung earlier talked about, how that you have brought us from a mighty long way by faith. Holy Father God, help us as black and white people not to forget what you have done for all of us, even though, sad to say, it's an ongoing situation. But it's far better than what it was. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for salvation and spiritual blessings, family, life blessings, financial and material blessings, mental and physical blessings, protection and provision blessings down through the years. Lord, I am flabbergasted. I'm amazed that, Lord, you allowed me to live as long as I have. Born in 1960, and now I'm 60 years old. And Lord, I never thought I would see that. I know I don't deserve to see it. But you've been gracious to me, and you have shown me favor. Lord, you even showed me favor when you brought about a profound prophet by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I didn't know much about it. I remember seeing his face in the 60s along with JFK and RFK. Lord, I did not know what he did for me, what you had him to do for me as a black person in this country. I have born in 1960, Lord, I have not experienced what my father and my mother experienced, my grandparents experienced, my great-grandparents, my ancestors who were slaves in the North Carolina area. But Lord, I thank you for raising him up to be a prophet to a sin-cursed land, to not only give me a life that I would not have had without his life. And so, Lord, help us to learn from his life that we better do what we're supposed to do, because we might be making it better for a generation to come. And Holy Father God, tonight, we individually and collectively, hopefully, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. As we, from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you come into our hearts, as someone said, forgiveness is an automatic, ongoing thing because of your grace, the power of your Holy Spirit in us. And so, Lord, forgive us of our sins, because just like the Israelites of old, you sent us a Moses, and we experienced a miraculous, great victory that you brought about. You just used Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he realized that he was a humble man and a meek man like Moses. You have to be to take what he has taken. Most of us living today wouldn't have taken it. And however, Lord, since the prophet died on the mountaintop in the middle of his life, we have forsaken you, black and white, in the church. And still today, we are fussing back and forth as so-called Christians, black and white Christians. about getting along or not getting along. To this very day. And we have no doubt the reason is because with all of the benefits and all of the open doors and all of the money and materialism, we all have forsaken you, like the children of Israel did, and many are worshiping idols. And Lord, we need to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Please help us as your children, your people, the children of the civil rights movement, black and white. Great strides have been made on both sides, but we still struggle with this sin in addition to the other sins. Lord God in heaven, help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways. And now you have brought upon us this plague to get our attention. And it is weighing down on many people tonight, along with all of the other unrest, the tension. The word tension comes to mind, and the word tension is appropriate. And so this sermon, this message that Dr. King preached under tension back in the 60s, back in the 60s, I believe. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us to take heed to this message on how to deal with, and for some, to cope with the situation as it is. For many are faltering. Not only, Lord, are many dying. No doubt over 4,000 souls will go out into eternity today because of our sin in the church. Our pride, our stubbornness, our foolishness, our whoredom, our whoremongering around, rebelliousness and disobedience. Lord, the truth of the matter is the prophet is gone. And like the Israelites, we have put ourselves in this terrible situation. The beloved community should be going strong right now, and it is not. And we have forsaken you, and we are worshiping false idols in your sight. And you're not pleased. And you have brought this plague upon us, and this is a light plague. And if we don't repent, as you've done the Israelites, you will do us. You will step it up. And it seems that you are already, for things are getting worse and worse. And so, Holy Father God, we pray tonight that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, as we pray for genuine revival. And Lord, I pray that you deliver us and deliver the people and cast out of the people the demonic spirits of betrayal and sabotage and treachery, pride, stubbornness and rebelliousness, hindrance and distraction. Because as always, Lord, we're not ignorant of. We thank you that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. He will attack. He's trying to attack. He's trying to hinder. So, Lord, help all of us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls and spirits in the precious blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow. And Lord, help us to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, tonight, speak to our hearts from a sermon, from a message that was preached long ago by your choice servant, the prophet Martin Luther King, Jr. And Lord, we pray that in the end, that from a message that he preached, bouncing from that, that a lost soul would be saved, as we remember what you did through this man's life to help a sick country. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe, the revival of the saved in this country and around the globe. We pray for the healing of the sick in this country and around the globe tonight. And if they are Christians, help them to call for the elders of the church for prayer, and help them to be transparent about their sins so that they can be healed and raised up. And Holy Father God, on this night of great tension, many people are on edge tonight because they don't know what's going to happen over the next week, next few days, weeks ahead, months ahead, based upon what has already taken place. This certainly was not a part of, at this late date, a part of King's dream. And so, Lord, we pray that you will comfort those, save those who are grieving tonight. Draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. For many have died, probably while I am preaching, according to the official count, which we know and they have confessed is not an accurate account. It's already over 500,000, and towards more, 1 million people have died in this country, and they know it. But while I am preaching tonight, we will go over 400,000 dead in this country called America. And I believe that it could have been avoided if the church had humbled herself and prayed and repented of her sins and turned from her wicked ways after all of the warnings you sent in a loving way. And so, Holy Father God, we pray tonight, speak to our hearts by the power and the unction of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would grant me afresh and anew the freedom and the liberty, the unction and the anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, have you to come through, even though this is a borrowed message, an adapted message, coming through a different person. Have you to come through and demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For even Dr. King would admit, and I certainly admit, we are still unprofitable servants. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Living under the tensions of the plague, pain, and politics. The title is even adapted from Dr. King's title. Dr. King said, the emotionally and physically, the emotionally and physically trying bus boycott . Well, this is a little background information. Before I get into the message, the emotionally, physically trying bus boycott was in the 10th month when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered a sermon with the title, Living Under the Tensions of Modern Life. He lamented, oh, I know all of us sometimes worry about our particular situation. We worry about the fact that we live now amid the Southland. This was in Montgomery, at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. We worry about what will, what's going to happen in this whole struggle toward integration. He appeals to them to draw on resources of strength and hope. How is it that we can keep walking in Montgomery? How is it that we can keep burning out our rubber? How is it that we can keep living under tension? Under tension. Under tension. You know how we pray regarding tribulation and trouble. One of the things I pray sometimes is, Holy Father God, deliver us from tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, and testings. Those were the five T's we heard from our mother and our grandmother and great-grandmother when they prayed. That's where I got that from. But now I'm adding the word, another T, tension. Now that's not Dr. King, that's me. I have tacked on the word tension. Don't worry, what I'm praying is not in the Bible. I'm not changing the Bible. Some of you think that's in the Bible like that, because your grandmother said it, your great-grandmother said it, but that's not the case, okay? So I'm safe. I tack on now tension. I pray, Holy Father God, deliver us from tribulations. That's always the first word. That's how I remember it from my mother, from my grandmother, and from my great-grandmother, Mother Breedlove. My baby daughter is named after my great-grandmother, Mother Breedlove. That's how she used to pray. Holy Father God, deliver me from and deliver us from tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, and tests. And Lord, deliver us from tension and the tensions of life. And that's what Dr. King is talking about in this message, living under tension. For the original title was Living Under Tension in Modern Times. And we can carry out, or rather, and we can cry out to the nation. We can do it because we know that as we walk, Dr. King said, God walks with us. And this was way back now, when we used to walk with God as black folk. I don't know what the white folk were doing, but I do know black folk were walking with God back in those days. Oh, they were not perfect, but they were better than we are. I can assure you that. And one pastor has mentioned recently how that we have people who are saved. They are believers, but they're not walking with God. Are you walking with God tonight as God's child? And in only the way that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. can say it, I use today as the subject living under the tensions of modern life. This is his original title. Living under the tensions of modern life. And I chose this sermon because we're living under some of the greatest tension in our lifetimes, if not the greatest. Things have gotten worse. This is not Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream at all. And it has been brought on in our modern times by our so-called modern church. Sinning and promoting sin to the point of where we are today. Dealing with the sin we're dealing with today, brought on by the church. And look at us now, having forsaken the God of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the prophet, having forsaken the God of our great grandmothers and grandfathers and mothers and fathers. Look at what we have wrought. Look at us now. Dr. King and them, they had tension on them, brought on by the devil and the white man and the Ku Klux Klan, and lynchings. We all, both black and white, we have brought this on us ourselves, because it didn't have to be this way. We were set free. We crossed the Red Sea. And we did the same thing the Israelites did. Forsook God and started worshiping the idols of money and jobs and benefits and material things and sex, the God, the little g God of sex. And look at us now. And so Dr. King goes on to say, we use as a basis for our discussion together with the 28th verse of the 11th chapter of the gospel as recorded by Saint Matthew. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And as only Dr. King can say it, and nobody can say it like him, or say it better, there can be no gainsaying of the fact that modern time, modern life is characterized by endless tensions. I asked one of my assistants to look up that word tension. Tension, a state of worry. My. And don't act like it's not happening to you, because some of you are worried. A state of worry or nervousness. Mental or emotional strain. And some of you are buckling under the strain, under the tension. Don't tell me you're not, because I know some of you are. I know for a fact. Even though you're trying to hide it. The condition of being strained or stretched physically and or emotionally. For we're living in the time of the plague, great pain, and wicked politics. On all levels of life, men are experiencing disruption and conflict. Even, and I want you to notice this, that Dr. King said, because this is so true. See, this is what our sinful nature will do for you. This is what the devil will do to you, cause you to self-destruct. These are the words of Dr. Martin Luther King back many years ago, around 60 years ago. I find it interesting, because that's something the Lord has shown me, that people are self-destructing. It's not the white man so much today. We do still have racism and prejudice, sad to say. And because the church, the white church and the black church, has not done its job, we're going to continue to have it. And it's getting worse and worse. You know why? Because in this democracy, we did not do our job as the church. We didn't go soul winning. We didn't witness to anybody. We stopped bringing folk to church and making sure that we had one in the car with us besides just ourselves. We quit that a long time ago and got caught up in the prosperity garbage. I told you, now this is an adapted message. King did not say that. I'm saying it. Because we're on the other side of the Red Sea, and we're messing up just like the Israelites. Well, preacher, why don't you just blame it all on the white man like everybody else? No, I'm not doing that. Because, see, you don't understand how God operates. God operates like this. If you sin against him, and you know better, like the Israelites, God will bring enemies from all over to deal with you. God will bring about plagues to deal with you. Black or white, red or yellow, makes no difference. Everybody's under this plague. And everybody's under tension. No. This is not all the white man's fault now. It's not all the black man's fault. We, black and white, after crossing the Red Sea, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have forsaken God. And we have gone back to some of our evil, sinful ways. White folks and black folks, everybody. Nobody can really blame it on anybody else. And by the way, as I told you, when President Trump won 4 years ago, that he, if we didn't do what we're supposed to do, he would turn out to be a bust as well. I told you that no president, and I'm telling you the same thing regarding Biden, no president can get us out of the mess we're in if the church does not repent of her sin. And you're going to find that I am right about the Biden-Harris ticket as well, that without the church humbling herself and praying and seeking God's face and turning from her wicked ways and repenting and getting back to Jesus Christ, our first love, I don't care who you put in there. If you don't put Jesus in there, and I say that reverently, nothing is going to change. It's going to get worse and worse and worse because of the sinful decisions that we have made in the church. Primarily, first of all, and how we have influenced the government or not influenced the government. How we have not influenced the government. Now, that's not King, that's me. Because we're living under tension right now. Dr. King was living under a different kind of tension. And he was trying to fix it and correct it. And always remember now, Dr. King was always, yes sir, he was about delivering black people. But he was also, as a Christian, as all Christian ministers should be. He was about trying to deliver white folks from their foolishness and sin as well. And he did his part. But we're not doing our part. I know you want somebody to stand up and blame one man and blame a group of people and all of that. I'm not going to do that. And those who need to be blamed and should be blamed should be blamed. And they are being blamed. What President Trump has done regarding this plague has been disastrous. I warn him over and over and over again not to go the route he went, and he did. And tonight we're going over 400,000, nearly half a million souls gone out into eternity. That's right there, right up there with World War II. And it's going to surpass it because of his foolishness. I warned him. It's all in writing for the whole world to see. I warned him repeatedly. Told his advisors what to tell him. And the truth of the matter is, his advisors failed him. They failed him miserably. So-called evangelical advisors. And I'm not Democrat, I'm not Republican. I haven't voted for any of these presidents. I didn't vote for anybody. That's not what I do. You can do that. I didn't vote for Obama, I didn't vote for Trump, I didn't vote for Biden, I didn't vote for Bush. So I'm not into that. You can do that. God called me to do something else. And I warned Obama not to sanction homosexual marriage. And he did, and I believe that God is very angry about that. Not only at him, but the black church and the white church that winked at him and let him do that. Black and white advisors, evangelical advisors, who allowed him to do that. They could have put enough pressure on him to not do that. And when you do stuff like that, that crosses the line, and that's why we're in the mess we're in today. Because we have chose to sin against God to the point of sanctioning the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't have to tell you. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why? Because they had gotten to the point of a level of sin that ends up destroying them and destroying civilization. And God loves us so much that he'll stop us from destroying ourselves. Self-destruction. That's where we are. That's what Dr. King, that's the word he used, the phrase he used. There's a whole lot of self-destruction going on under this tension. And meaninglessness in life. I've never seen a group of young people so aimless, so empty-headed, so empty-hearted, so empty-minded, no fire in their belly. You might recall that it was young men, that's right, and young women who sat down so that we can stand up. The civil rights movement, which, by the way, Dr. King called it, while he was in the movement, he called it the civil rights movement, was fueled by young men and women, the sons and daughters, grandchildren of slaves. And where are the godly young people today? And they carried themselves in a godly fashion. They were not perfect. But they had fire in their belly that many young people don't have today. And to do it God's way, not in an evil, ungodly, destructive way. And then Dr. King said, "And if we turn our eyes around our nation, we discover that the psychopathic wards of our hospitals are filled today. Fear and anxiety have risen to the throne of modern life, and very few persons escape the influence of their powerful domination. It is probably true to say that we live today in one of the most, if not the most, frustrated generations of all human history. I believe that we have them beat. I believe that we have them beat. For when I talk to some people today, especially young people, I sense their frustration like never before. And you know what the young people want? They want this plague to be over. They want all of this fighting to be over. They tell me they want things to go back to normal. Now, what accounts, Dr. King said, for this tension, this anxiety, this confusion, so characteristic of modern life? What is it? What is the causal basis for all of the tensions of our modern world? I will say that if we are to find the cause, we must look for more than one cause, and it's a plurality of causes that have all conjoined to make for the tensions of our generation. And ladies and gentlemen, with that tonight, for this is a part one, this is part one of the series. And with that tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I will cut this sermon off at this point and share with you something far more important for your soul that Dr. King did not share in this particular sermon. And that is, dear friend, if you were to die tonight in this day of death, where would you go, heaven or hell? If you don't know, you need to listen. If you're not sure, you need to listen. Dr. King was a prophet, but he was also a pastor. God has given me that gift of being a prophet, but I'm also an evangelist. And my main concern when I get around people, my main concern in every sermon and in every message, is not anything that I try to do, is that if you do not know that you're going to heaven, I want to make sure you know how to get there. That's my main concern, that you do not go to hell from this life. So, dear friend, if you want to be saved from the hell to come, the eternal burning hell, first, you need to understand and accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned against God, yes. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a sinner. The Pope is a sinner. The Dalai Lama is a sinner. Joel Osteen is a sinner. I am a sinner. We're all sinners. We all have sinned against God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything from anybody? Let me help you. Did you take something from somebody and they didn't know about it and they didn't give you the permission to take it? Have you ever lusted in your heart after somebody or something? Have you ever coveted somebody or something? Have you ever dishonored or disobeyed your parents? Have you ever dishonored God by taking His name in vain? I just named 5 of the 10 commandments, and I would venture to say that you have broken all of them in your life at some point. You probably didn't know what you were doing, but you did. And because of our sins, ladies and gentlemen, there's a punishment. Except the fact, secondly, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. And that punishment is death. We're all on death row, not just the ones in the prison house, but in your house, everybody's on death row. I know you don't like that image, but it's true. We're all going to die. And the reason why we die is not because of cancer, not because of a car accident, not because of the coronavirus plague. We die because of the plague of sin. One day, you're going to be put in a grave. I know you don't think so. I know you don't feel it. But one day, you will die. And they will have to bury you. Your body will go into a grave of some sort. Your soul will go on to hell immediately. In fact, before they bury you and have your funeral, your soul will be in hell, in the torments of hell, several days before your body is buried. The truth of the matter is, the Bible teaches that when you die, if you were to die tonight, your soul will immediately wake up and look up in the torments of hell. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We die because of our sin. Our souls go to hell if we reject Christ and don't believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now tonight. You don't have to commit any more sins. You're on your way to a devil's hell, to be tormented forever if you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way, not in a historical way, but in a soul-saving way. Meaning you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. That's what we're talking about. That is the gospel, not a song. The gospel is not a song or a singing group. The gospel is this message, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. It is the good news. For Jesus Christ, a dear friend, preached more on hell than any prophet, any apostle, any preacher, or any writer in the Bible. Sad to say, he has preached more, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers living today. One of the reasons why I preach on it every day is because Jesus preached on it more than he preached on heaven. Evidently, he wants people to understand that they're on their way to hell and they need to be saved by him. That's why he came. One day, Jesus Christ described hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. At another time, Jesus Christ described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And then in another sermon, he preached on hell in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, when he said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Jesus Christ did not play about this matter. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. Went through hell and went to hell to save our souls from hell. He died, was buried, and rose again by the power of God for you and for me. Do you know him? If you don't, believe in him today, because hell is real. Hell is serious. Hell is sad, and hell is bad, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. For Jesus Christ said, not Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., oh, he was eloquent. There's no doubt about it, and that was a gift. His voice was a gift. His cadence was a gift, but he never said words like Jesus. Jesus Christ said the most loving, most powerful, most beautiful, most wonderful words ever said to mankind in the history of the world. For he said these words one night to Mr. Nicodemus. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." For some strange reason, many preachers don't preach on this anymore, but they should. For some strange reason, some pastors, many pastors, don't preach on hell anymore, but they should. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I want you to notice how simple it is to get saved and to be saved. Whosoever, Jesus said, The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Whosoever believeth. The word believeth means to have faith in, to have trust in. Should not perish. That means once they believe in Christ, they will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. There's only one thing you need to do to get saved from hell. No, it's not be in a church. You do not have to be in a church to get saved. That's the devil telling you that lie. And the devil is telling you, why don't you just wait till this plague is over and this coronavirus thing is over and go to a nice, beautiful, ornate, elegant church and sit down on the front pew and go ahead on and get saved. Then you might be dead before then. That's the problem. You don't have to be a member of a church to get saved. Jesus didn't say that in this verse. And some of you learned this verse in Sunday school, but you never understood it. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. Jesus did not say that. This is why Jesus was, while he was dying for the sins of the world, he was taking care of business on the cross when finally one of the thieves on the cross came to his senses and asked to be saved, and Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Did the thief on the cross go down and get baptized and join a church? Never did. Those things are good to do, but they cannot save your soul. No works by you can save your soul. You can give $1 billion to the church. It won't save your soul. The church will say thank you, and that's going to be pretty much it. It won't save you. You don't get any brownie points with Jesus by giving money. In fact, the old lady can come along and give a penny and be more honored by God than your billion out of your abundance. He didn't say you needed to get baptized. He didn't say you needed to do a whole lot of work in the church to be saved. It is not by works of righteousness that we do, but by his grace are we saved. His grace, his mercy, his love. You can't do anything to get saved. Just believe in him. And that's what he said. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. You do nothing but believe, because Jesus did it all. He paid it all. He paid your sin debt. So just believe in him. Just trust in him. Just have faith in him. And pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today. And he will. For Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth of the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And so, dear friend, in light of the fact of hell, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go to hell. Don't die without Jesus. Don't love darkness more than you love light. Trust in him tonight. While you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God for the many who have trusted in Christ through this ministry, and we thank God for your being here tonight, and you have an opportunity to get saved. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shall be saved. Pray with me right now the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Be sincere about it. This is not a time to play. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I agree with the preacher and the sins that he named. I have committed them all, as you know. And I've committed many other sins as well, as you know. I am guilty, and I understand that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried and he rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit by your grace and save my soul from the hell that I deserve. And please save my soul to the heaven that I don't deserve. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to change. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the good life. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to do your will. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. And dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book free of charge titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.